Good morning, everyone. Who is a visitor here? Who's visiting us for the first time, second time, third time? Who's here for holidays? Wonder, great, okay? We hope you enjoy Hermanus. We hope you enjoy all our beaches. And please spare our water. We had a lot of rain this year, but we receive you and we bless you. And we hope you will come again. I must be quick, and I don't know how to be quick, so please bear with me. But this morning, I've got an interesting word on my heart. I've battled with it the last few weeks, but the Lord has kept on telling me, Yaku, just preach this. I'm going to just be obedient. Most of you know me, so I'm excited about this word. Amen. And today I'm gonna talk about a different kind of love. It's gonna be new to maybe some of you. It's gonna be maybe something totally different, but it's something that I want to talk about, which I've experienced during our recent outreach. Now, we as a church had the outreach to our matric students that are coming to party in Hermanus, and the Lord has shown me something while we were there one night, or both nights, and on the beach on Saturday, which disturbed me in a very big way, and it kept me praying for the last 2 weeks, and it kept me wrestling with the Lord and say, God, why is this happening? What am I seeing? Why are you allowing me to see this? And the thing that upset me during this outreach wasn't the drunkenness of the students or the drugs they used or the loud music that they played in the raving tent or even the filthy language they spoke, you know, when we gained it. But the thing that shocked me was the compromise and the worldliness of the Christians we met there. And the sobering thing to me was, we as a team and as a church went on an outreach with a purpose to minister to unsafe people. People that came here to waste their lives, to waste their future. But the funny thing to me is we ended up ministering more to Christians, to confessing Christians, people that say they love the Lord. We met them all the time. And the funny thing to me was that the people that came to our tent came there and telling me, listen, yeah, I belong to so-and-so famous church in South Africa, or this is my famous pastor's name, while they were partying and having a jaw. And I'm like, God, what is happening here? And something for me in this picture that God is showing me is wrong. I don't know about you, but for me, the church is supposed to be the salt and the light of the world. We are supposed to stand out, amen? We are supposed to be different, amen? And we are not supposed to find Christians raving in clubs and in bars, being drugged and drunk out of their minds, having a good time. That picture just disturbed me in the last few weeks so much. I say, God, but why does this compromise happen so often among us Christians? And as I was wrestling with the Lord and thinking to preach all different messages of God's goodness and giving, it's the time of Christmas and all that, God just kept bringing me back to a few scriptures. And this morning, I trust that you hear my heart on what I'm going to say. And just take the word of God for being the word of God. It cannot change. It's forever settled in heaven. And the Lord gave me a few keys which I want to share with you. Basically, just one key. And that is the main point of my sermon this day. And the scripture God gave me this on this, why this, we find this much compromise with Christians, is in Psalms 97, verse 10. David says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. You who love the Lord, hate evil, David says. And then years later, Paul echoed the same sentiment. He says in Romans 12, be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Now, in both these scriptures, you will find two things. You will find the writers encouraging us to love the Lord and to love others. But the second thing, which is interesting to me, is he also tells us, listen here, to hate evil and anything and everything that is evil. Now, this to me sounds a little bit weird, and for you as well, it sounds maybe wrong. It doesn't sit with our gospel nowadays. But I believe the reason why so many Christians live in compromise is today is because we have stopped hating evil. Who can say amen to that? We've seen it at the outreach. It's everywhere. And church, I was shocked to find out during our outreach that people claimed to love God, but they tolerate sin and evil in their lives, thinking that that is okay. And David said, those who love the Lord must, hello, talk to me, hate evil. And the question that is ringing in my spirit the whole time until now was, how can we say we love God when we love evil as well? How can we say we love God when we love evil as well? Doesn't the Bible say it's impossible to serve two masters? You either love the one and hate the other. It's impossible to serve God and evil. And I realize, as I've been thinking through this, that the church over the years has become very good in loving what God loves, but somehow we've become weak and blinded to the other part of these verses that command us to hate evil. We've become very good at what God loves. We do the things He loves. We're inspired by His love, and that's all correct. But somehow the enemy has got us to become weak in the second part of these verses. But the Bible is the truth, and it speaks of both sides. It speaks of the goodness of God, and it speaks of the fear of the Lord. It speaks of us loving God, and it speaks of us hating evil. It speaks of hating lawlessness, and it speaks of loving righteousness. So the gospel has got these two sides to the coin, and as a child of God, we are called to love what God loves and hate what God hates. We are called to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And we've been doing the one so well. I want to encourage you and say, continue with that, please, church. Love what God loves. Let the love of God compel us to press forward, to push this line Anis has been talking about. But let us always not forsake and ignore the other part of living in compromise and not hating evil. Those who love the Lord will hate evil. So let me ask you something. How many of you know of somebody who used to serve the Lord but doesn't anymore? How many of you know of somebody which was full of fire for God but have fallen back? Just raise your hand. Just show me. Just look around. It's shocking, guys. How does it happen? How does this falling away happen? How does this compromise? How does this worldliness creep into our midst? And I think it's not because these people don't love God anymore. No, it's because they stop hating evil sometime in their lives. You see, they only took half the gospel. They only took half of the formula. They only took the half that says love God, but they never took the other half that says hate evil. And the thing again that shocked me at the outreach was, when you speak to these people on the streets, most of them will tell you that I still believe in God and I still love God. Guys, we met, they were dragged out of their minds, telling you, we love Him so much, He's been so good to us. And they cry, and all the emotions flow, and I'm like, God, what's wrong with this? I asked them to take a dip, man. They're like, help me, please. I'm like, Jesus, help us. And the shocking thing to me is that the Bible says that the demons also believe in God, and they tremble. So realize that more demons are in reverence of God than most Christians are today. We don't fear God anymore. We don't hate evil anymore. And I believe that this is one of the main reasons people backslide and compromise, because they don't fear the Lord anymore, which is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I know this is not a popular message, but this is the word of the Lord. So let's go with that. Now, some of you might crucify me now and say, Yaku, you are talking a lot of hogwash. And this is contrary to what I know, because the Bible says that God is love, and we must love our enemies and not hate them. God is God of grace and love, and we must embrace them. I will say to you, that is correct, but we must understand and don't forget that because God is love, He also hates perfectly. The two are actually inseparable, because to love perfectly is to hate perfectly, you see? It's like you can't get hot without cold. You can't get high without a low. You can't get a positive without a negative. Amen? If you love somebody, for instance, you will hate whatever tries to injure and hurt that person, right? Isn't that true? It's, for instance, a great example, all our moms here. A mother who loves a child will hate the disease that tries to kill the child. Isn't that true? It's a two sides. And the same is true for God, guys. God hates that which will hurt and separate us from Him, because He hates what breaks our fellowship with Him. Sin separates us from God. God hates that. God also hates it because it is contrary to His nature. We must remember God is holy, and therefore He will hate anything that is evil. He's opposed to lawlessness. Amen? So the greater our love for somebody or for God, the greater our hatred will be too. And that's why God could say in Psalms 97, "You who love the Lord, hate evil." It's not my words. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Now before we go on, I must just help us to retrain our minds, because the word hate is not the same in the Bible as the word we use in the world today, seeing the media and on the TV and on the radio. It's not the same. Here's the good news, okay? It is different. The word in hate is associated with violence, revenge, hostility, killing, murder, and you can name the rest. That's not what biblical hatred is all about. That's not what is in God's heart at all. Biblical hatred, or the hate in Old Testament, means to stand against, to despise, in other words, to think as worthless, to be an enemy of, to put yourself against that which is wicked. Greek hatred means the following: to regard with ill will. In other words, to be unfriendly with, to detest it. In other words, to dislike something. And more importantly, is to love less. You all know the scripture in Luke 14, Jesus says, "You can't be my disciple if you hate your mother and father." That word hate is not if you like violence, murder, killing. No, that the word is if you love your parents less than me, then only you can be my disciple. God must be priority number one. Love for Him must be burning, must be full of zeal and joy. Love less. But in other words, guys, we are never meant to hate people, like Maria said this morning. Amen, Maria? If it's a Muslim, that's not our problem. God died for that person. It's a spirit of Islam which we are against. That is the evil. And we are biblical hatred is never against people. It is never to hurt people. But it's there for us to stand against sin and wickedness, to dislike it, to don't give our affections to it. And that's what shocked me on the outreach. The people that claim to be Christians gave their affections to the things in this world. God says we must hate them. We must have a love that is less for that and more for God. Amen? In fact, church, we don't have a license to say anything hateful to people. We don't have a license to hurt people or to slander them or to humiliate people. But on the contrary, we are called by God to love people and to love what He loves and to hate what He hates. Amen? We are called to love what God loves. We are called to love people, but to hate wickedness, to hate evil. Amen? Now, I've read something this week which shocked me. It was from the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth. He once said before he died, "I fear the day when we have salvation without regeneration, when we'll have faith without repentance, when we'll have heaven without hell, and we will have love for God without hatred for evil." That's shocking, eh? But church, I believe that this has become a prophecy for our times. Because we've seen the fulfillment of all of these things right in our day. We see people coming to Christ without ever repenting. We see people loving God without hating evil. William Booth said these things, and we're seeing it. And we've entered into the time where most people only have a love for God and they don't hate what He hates anymore. And my admonition for you this morning is: we cannot play with fire, church, and think we will not get burned. We cannot afford to play with sin and evil and think it will not affect us. You will get burned when you play with fire. Amen? Don't be deceived. Do you remember what happened with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5? That's not Old Testament, that is. I'm like, God help us. They thought they could play with evil. They thought they could entertain evil by lying to the apostles and say, "Listen, we sell it to 100,000, but let's say 50. Let's keep the rest for us." And they tried to deceive the church leadership. And what happened? They lost their lives. I'm not saying we're going to lose our lives, but they didn't hate evil, guys. If we play with fire, we will get burned. Amen? We cannot entertain it, thinking God will understand because He loves me. We must hate evil. In other words, we must stand against it. We must make it our enemy. We cannot give our affections. We cannot be friendly to those things. James said many, many times, you adulteresses, don't make yourself a friend of God. Don't love the things of this world, but love God instead. And my heart for us this morning is that we must become more like Daniel. In Daniel chapter 3, you can read the chapter. Daniel stood against evil in the midst of a corrupt society with King Nebuchadnezzar. We said we must all bow down to him. They said, no, we won't. We won't entertain it. We won't play with it. We will stand against this evil. We will bow only to the Lord God Almighty. We need Daniel's church. Amen? That loves God, that is loyal to God, but hates and stands against evil and wickedness. I love her. And also, we need to become like Joseph, like my friend said this morning here. When Joseph was confronted with Potiphar's wife wanting to sleep with him, what did he do? Did he say yes and let's go? Joseph ran. Joseph flee from that. Joseph didn't entertain for a single moment any wickedness in his life. And God rewarded him. We need to be Daniels. We need to become like Josephs. We need to stand for what God stands for. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. Amen? You see, you cannot love flowers without hating weeds. Why is that? Because the weeds is the thing that will eventually kill your beautiful flower if you don't hate the weeds. It's simple, guys. You cannot love flowers without hating a weed. The one will kill the other one. And in the same way, we cannot love God without hating sin. You cannot love God without hating what Satan do to people's lives. My heart was broken as I stood there at our tent at night at the outreach. And my heart said, God, the enemy is killing your people. So to learn to hate wrong things is as important in learning to love the right things. And we've become very good. I want to say thank you for learning to do the right things. God is asking us to help to learn to hate the wrong things as well. We must find that balance. Are you guys all with me? Now, what does God say about hating evil? Let's look at the Word of God and His opinion about these things so we can just help ourselves understand this. Psalm 101 verse 3, David says, I will not put any wicked in front of my eyes. I hate what unfaithful people do. I want no part of it. David is saying in your church that we mustn't turn our eyes aside to those things which are unclean because God hates it. And I'm shocked to see what is going on our TV sets. You know, years ago, Christians wouldn't have tolerated the evil that we're seeing on our TV sets today. But nowadays, the modern Christian has become so used to the evil around us that we just don't bother. And that is disturbing to God's heart. And God is saying here, He hates it when we allow our minds to dwell on the things that we shouldn't dwell on. And I want to say something here, that men, that pornography you're looking at, God says it's wrong. Unclean things is wrong. Stop that. You must hate the evil and love the good. Psalm 119 verse 104, David says, your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. I hate every false way of life. What David is saying is God hates anything and everything that teaches doctrine or a way of life that is apart from God through Jesus Christ. Now we know this. The way to salvation and life, God, is clearly seen throughout Scripture. The Bible says there's only one way to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ. God has given us only one name by which man must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. God says He hates false teachers and false religions that leads people away from Him. God hates false teachers and false doctrine. And we must remember again that God doesn't hate those people that are caught and deceived into these cults and false religions. He loves those people. He sent His Son to die for them. But God hates the spirit and the organization behind those people that has deceived them and that has bounded them up We need to pray that God will loose their light and cause them to see the light. But I thank Mario for what he's doing in Europe, to preach the gospel so that those people can see the way of salvation. But Romanus is no different than Europe. We need the gospel here as well. If you came with us, ask all of the team, the darkness is gross at night there. Romanus is not anymore an old seashore city with nobody at night. It is raving out there at night. And we need to stand up and speak out against those things. Amen? 119:163, it says, I hate lying. I'm disgusted with it, but I love your teachings. In other words, because God is the God of truth, he says, I hate it when people lie. I hate it when people are dishonest. I hate it when people don't tell the truth. So church, it is very simple. The gospel is very simple. Lying is wrong and shouldn't be part of our lives as a Christian. Not even a white lie. We are called to live a holy life, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling before God. Again, fear and trembling. And that's why Paul could say in Colossians 3, he says, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become more like Him. Gosh, when you got saved, your old sinful nature was put aside. You became a new creation in Christ. Everything has become new. Paul says, don't go and take the sinful now and do it again. Don't lie to one another, because we belong to one another. We are a body of Christ together. Now, I don't know if you can see that, how Paul, interesting enough in the scripture, how he can equate lying to wickedness. If you doubt that I'm lying to you about lying is lying. He says, don't lie because of the old man's wickedness. It's not supposed to be part of our lives. Because as a child of God, we must love what God loves and hate what God hates. God hates it when we lie. Zechariah 8 verse 17, the writer says, let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Do not love a false oath. For all these things I hate, says the Lord. A different translation says, don't love false testimonies. In other words, God is saying that he hates it when we falsely accuse people and bring a false testimony against one another. That's a big one in church. We gossip and backbite one another all the time. God says, I hate that. Stop that, please. He also says here that I hate your hypocrisy and lies because I want you to walk in truth and love with your neighbor. Guys, we as a body belong to one another. We cannot injure one another anymore by lying and backbiting. God sees that. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians 4, so then church, get rid of lies. Speak the truth to each other because we are all members of the same body. Are you guys all with me? Then perhaps the most famous verse in the whole Bible about what God doesn't like is found in Proverbs chapter 6. Most of you know this. It says, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are quick to do wrong, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. For the scholars among us, the reason why the Bible says first six and then seven, it's look at the guys, double-minded, but it's not. It's a Hebrew way of putting emphasis on something very important. So what God is saying, you're listening, what I'm saying next is very important. Please take note. And the first thing he says there is a proud look. I don't have to say much about this, guys, but proud is listed first, being probably the most important one, because pride is found in all kinds of sins. It's the foundation of most sins. And the Hebrew words here is actually lofty eyes. Some of your Bibles would say lofty eyes. And what that means is to actually look down onto other people with disdain. Disdain, minachten. Who are beneath you, thinking they are of less value and significance than you. And I think this sin we commit so much in South Africa with people that work for us. Look down on them with disdain because they're of less value, because they're a different skin color than us. God says, I hate that. A proud look, lofty eyes. We are to esteem one another. We are to lift one another up. Bless one another. And this is wrong. And God says he hates a proud look. Second one, he says a lying tongue. That one we've covered. The third one, a big one, he says, hands that kill the innocent. A different Bible says, hands that shed innocent blood. Guys, God hates murder. It's wrong. He hates those people with a cruel disposition and a liking in shedding blood. He's against it because it's against his nature, once again, because he is the giver of life and the giver of love. It's against his nature. And as a church, I believe we cannot be silent anymore about these topics because God is not silent. I want to shock you with a few statistics that shows us, God, that there's more murder taking place in our country that we are aware of. And to God, it is breaking his heart. According to the World Health Organization, 43.8 million babies are being aborted and murdered annually worldwide. There is one baby being killed every second in our world today. Murder. In South Africa in 2003, from an essay, 90,000 babies are aborted every year. That is about 7,000 babies every month, which equates to one baby being killed every 6 minutes in South Africa. Let's wait 6 minutes. Somebody dies. Innocent blood is being shed. My heart breaks for that. It breaks God's heart. It is shocking that we've reduced the truth to something else and made it acceptable in our society. God hates murder. We cannot hate these people once again who performs the procedures, but instead we must stand up against this evil. Guys, remember, hate means to stand against, make it our enemy. We cannot be friendly with it anymore. We must love these people because we are called to love what God loves once again, to never hate people, but to hate wickedness and evil. Who can say amen? Another shocking thing. Do you know that if you destroy a bald eagle egg in America today, you will be fined $250,000, in prison for 5 years. If you destroy a bald eagle's egg, you'll find $250,000 US dollars times our current rate is, nobody can afford that, plus 5 years in prison. But let us dare destroy the egg of an infant baby, then people call us open-minded and educated. I think we've become so open-minded that our brains have fallen out. Because anybody with any sense of right and wrong will know that murder is wrong. Anybody with two brain cells will know that that cannot be accepted in our society. Amen? And that's why Isaiah warned us years ago. He said the following: woe to those who call evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Guys, this is happening right in front of our eyes. The rules of the game have changed. And we as a church must adapt to the new society in a certain way, but still keep our standard. Everything is being redefined. I mean, the enemy can redefine the truth. He can change anything. And it is happening with marriage in our country. It is happening with babies, with fetuses being called not human. It's happening before our very eyes. God is saying, are we going to stand for truth or not? Are we going to hate the evil and love him? We cannot ignore the other part anymore. Everything is being changed. And we as a church need to start praying. We need to start speaking up to this because we are for life. Because God is the God of life. Amen? The Bible says, if my people who called upon name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, what will happen? He will heal, he will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. South Africa needs healing. America needs healing. Europe needs healing, church. But the key is in our hand. Are we going to humble ourselves and pray and turn away from our wickedness and hate the evil but love God more? Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What does that mean? The more you fear God, the more you will hate. What is the fear of the, what does it mean to fear God? does not mean to be afraid of Him. Please. He's a loving, awesome God. And He wants His kids to be on His lap and playing with Him. He wants to talk to you and give you secrets and love you, like Mario said. But to fear the Lord means that we are in reverence of God. We are in awe of Him. We tremble at who He is and His Word. Guys, I preached a few weeks ago about childless. You know, children are in awe of everything. Oh, look at the Christmas tree. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Again, this is just becoming childlike. God, you are awesome. God, you are wonderful. But if you've got a pride heart, you will look down at God. No, no, I know. I've been there before. I know the formula, God. I've seen this happening before in my life. That's not what God wants. He wants childlikeness, reverence and awe and trembling at His Word says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So the more you and I are in reverence of God, the more we will hate evil, the Bible says. But unfortunately, we're living in a time when the truth is being changed, and we people think the grace means that we can live in any way we want and allow just more sin in our lives, and God will not mind. God will throw a blind eye. He will not, the Bible says. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And that's why Paul could say in 2 Timothy 2 to us as the church, but the God's truth stands like a firm foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are His, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. That is written in the foundation stone of God. This is not what I'm saying. Those who belong to God must turn away from evil. So church, this is, we have no more other option. If we claim to be Christians today, we must turn away from evil in any form and make it our enemy. Like we hate the All Blacks. Come on, it's easy to us, man. Just picture the same. They're wearing black jerseys. They're big and strong. But our enemy's not big and strong. He's defeated. Have that same thing in your heart. That same, not revenge, that same, I'm not parting with you. You're not my friend. I'm drawing a line. Amen? We must get our resistance up, church. We must get our standards up again, church. We must get our convictions up again, church. We cannot be double-minded anymore about the kingdom. Are we going to serve God or are we not? We cannot have one foot in the world and one foot with God, thinking one day here, one day there. No, it's all or nothing. Amen? It's all or nothing. And therefore, I'm almost finished. And therefore, it is good for us to hear these scriptures from time to time. I know they sit... they don't sit with most of you. But it's good for us to let the truth wash over us, because in our post-modern society where there's no more absolute truth, we get looser and looser when we don't remind ourselves of what truth is anymore. Amen? We get looser and looser. We accept more things on TV, more things how our mates swear and talk dirty and gossip and hurt and hypocrisy. We say, oh, it's okay, God understands. No, no, no. God is saying, there's a new standard, my standard. Because the truth is, God has not changed, His Word has not changed, and therefore, we are to love what God loves, hate what God hates, because we belong to our God. Those who belong to God must turn away from evil. Because we belong to Him, these things will just come to us. So in conclusion, Hebrews 1 says the following, verse 8, but to the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Guys, the writer of the Hebrews here is referring to Jesus. And he's saying, listen here, that Jesus is the one that hated lawlessness and loved righteousness. He was also the one, according to Romans 12, which abhorred evil and clung to what was good. And guys, we see this, that Jesus perfectly illustrated this truth I'm talking about today. I haven't made this up. I'm just following my Maker. And throughout the Gospels, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that Jesus portrays this heart of loving righteousness and hating lawlessness. And I've been thinking, even the incarnation of Christ and His death on the cross was an act of love and an act of hatred against evil. Think about that. Jesus came to us out of love, out of absolute perfect love, because He is love. God says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever might believe in Him will have eternal life. Out of love, God says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is out of love He came for us. Amen. That part we know so well. But it is also His death on the cross, His horrible death on the cross was also an act of hatred against evil. That which separated me and you from His love. That which break our fellowship with Him. God said, no, I hate that evil. I'm going to destroy it through my Son's death on the cross. Jesus loved righteousness and He hated wickedness. Guys, Jesus was indifferent to evil and we must be too. He spoke against it and we must be too. What happened? Let me ask you, what happened at the temple when He came there, when He cleared the... What was happening there when Jesus cleared the tables at the temple? I tell you, that was the love of God coming forth in hatred for evil. He said, listen, I'm not going to allow this wickedness in my Father's house, which is a house for prayer of all the nations. Don't you make it a den of thieves. I will not part with wickedness. And he came in there and He wasn't indifferent and He cleared the tables. That picture we don't see of Christ often, but it is in the Scriptures. Jesus refused to partake in any of it. And He didn't accept it as the new norm as we do as Christians today. And the reason why this message is important for us to hear is because as followers of Jesus, and most of us are, we are called to imitate God as dear children. And imitating God means simply that we follow His example and do as He did. By loving righteousness and hating lawlessness. Is this okay? And church, this is the attitude I want to leave you with. This is the standard that we must uphold daily in our lives. The fear of the Lord. Even if nobody else watches, even if nobody else does it, we must be the Daniel and say, I will not compromise and bow before you, Nebuchadnezzar. I will serve the living God and Him alone. We will stay and stand up against evil. Because we are called, once again, to love what God loves and hate what God hates because He's asking us to imitate Him today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that You love us so much that You gave Your Son for us, Father. And God, once again, Your Son Jesus is our example in living this Christian life. Once again, Father, Your Son is not the exception, but He is the model to follow, Father. And Lord Jesus, thank You for showing us the example of how to please the Father by hating evil. Lord, You didn't corrupt Yourself with evil. You came to set the captives free, God. You came to heal those who were broken, God. You came to offer us salvation because sin separated us from You eternally. And God, we thank You for that, Lord. And God, this morning I ask that through Your Holy Spirit, You will help us to become more like Jesus. Father, we need changing, God. We thank You, Lord, Your words as we behold You, God. We will be changed from glory to glory. And from strength to strength, God. This morning we look to You. We ask You, Holy Spirit, make us more like Jesus. We ask You for more. More of Your heart. More of this example. In Jesus' name. God, I also want to pray this morning for people who have become lukewarm in their love for You. People who have compromised in certain areas, God. People that is not right with You at the moment, Father. I pray, Lord God, Lord, this morning that You will give them grace and strength, God, to lift up their heads and to look to You as their salvation, God. And to run to You this morning, Father, and to allow You to just bring more fire, God, to bring more life and vigoration into their spirits again, to be able to live for You. Father, I pray for boldness for Your church, God, for courage, God, to be like Jonathan, God, which went and defiled the armies of the Philistines, God. And for Father, I pray for God that we will be able to stand what You stand for, and love what You love for, God. In Jesus' name. God, and I also pray for parents here, God. For mothers and fathers, God, who are sitting with prodigal sons and daughters, God. I'm praying for parents, God, who are worrying about where their kids are now and what are they doing, and I cannot control them and tell them they're old. Father, I bring the distressed hearts before You. This morning, God, I want to speak Your peace over every parent here, Lord. About their children, Father, and I want to just bless them, God, with just a knowing, God, Lord, that You are for us and not against us. In Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, this morning, ask that you will again just fill us and baptize us with the fear of the Lord. You will give us the same passion that Christ had when he came to this earth. To love righteousness. To love to please you. But to hate that which opposes your nature and your character, God. In Jesus' name.